Shalom, shalom, and boker tov, friends. Good morning, good afternoon. I want to bring to your attention something that many folks are wondering about when it comes to what we all know is the best translation in the English language ever done. And the first one that's really been updated since the 1500s. And that involves around changing, adding, redacting his words. Because scripture is very clear. In Proverbs Mishlei 30, verse 6, we are told not to add anything to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found to be a liar. So we don't want to be reproved. We don't want to be found to be a liar because we know for a fact that liars do not inherit the kingdom of Yahuwah. So we are careful. And that begs the question. Scriptures are clear. We cannot add or take away from his word. That would make someone a liar. And liars do not inherit eternal life. That begs the question. Do the Restoration Scriptures True Name Editions add to the word? Take Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 as an example. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, which I will read, it does not read exactly like that in the Masoretic or the Septuagint. Granted, it reads differently. But is that adding and violating the warning of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, making us liars? First, we're going to have a quick look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, and see what it says. Every word is pure, of course. But in verse 6, add not. Proverbs 30, Mishlei 30, verse 6. Add not to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found to be a liar. This is a very, very, very serious, serious warning. That is for sure. So the question is, are we violating the word of Yahuwah? This is very serious, and we take it very, very serious. The answer is, thankfully, not at all. No, because we're taking two different traditions and we are offering them together in the same verse in order to, number one, give you a fuller picture. Number two, we don't know which one was the original or which one is the most accurate. So we offer both or sometimes three or four manuscripts in a single verse. So, for instance, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, we provide both the Masoretic and the Septuagint into one complete thought, simply because we don't know which one was the original and which one was the addition, as we are dealing with two different manuscript traditions. You see, friends, that's not changing the word or adding to the word. It is actually preserving the word in the most recognized forms altogether, just in case someone else, like the lying translators who have agendas and have had agendas, have installed their agenda by adding to the word themselves. without you even knowing that you are reading is something that is actually not originally there, but in addition. So let me go back here to give you a little more of an example. Let's go to the King James Version of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Now, we're assuming that this is the original, but we really don't know, because 3-4 different manuscript traditions may read completely different. So this is the traditional Textus Receptus Masoretic-based text, part of the Textus Receptus, the received text. Who has ascended into the heavens, who has descended, who has gathered the wind in his fists, who has bound the waters in a garment, who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is his son's name, if you can tell? Now, the irony is that the translators can't tell, because they took out his name and they took out his son's name over 7,000 times. And probably closer to 9,000 times if you add the renewed covenant, the New Testament. So the irony is, this is the Textus Receptus. Nobody questions it. Nobody looks for other manuscript traditions. And so we don't know if this is the original, because the same people who translated this, what is his name and what is his son's name, are the same people who removed his name 9,000 times. I want you to think about that. 9,000 times. Now, let's look at the same verse. This is the exciting part. In the Restoration Scriptures, True Name, 8th edition. Okay? Let's see exactly how it reads. Beautiful, just beautiful. Let's see exactly how it reads. Who has ascended in the Shamayim? Who has descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the Mayim, the waters, in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? Yahuwah. And what is his son's name? Yahusha. And what is his children's names, if you can tell in the Hebrew, ki teda. So this is the same verse. We have not added a single thing, but we've taken the second most popular manuscript tradition, where we find this phrase, what is his children's name? The first part is from the Textus Receptus. The second part is from the Septuagint. Okay? There's been no additions here. There's been simply an expansion of the understanding. Not being geniuses, we don't know for sure which was the original. Was it the Septuagint or was it the Masoretic? Let's continue. Therefore, as in the case that I just showed you, we often present both major manuscript readings in a single verse. We do the same in Isaiah 53, where we take the Masoretic and combine it with the Septuagint, so that the dead Messiah sees resurrection light again. If you read our tradition and our translation, you see that the dead Messiah sees the light of life again. If we did not combine the verses into a single verse from these different traditions, one the Dead Sea Scrolls and one the Textus Receptus, we would lose the prophecy of the Messiah, a dead person, seeing light after 3 days and three nights. We expose the Masoretic and the anti-Messiah agenda by using both traditions, the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Masoretic. Is that adding to the word? Only in the heads of some spiritually blind folks. This is how we are restoring and recovering the ancient texts, so that we get a complete picture without adding or subtracting anything. Actually, it's just the opposite. We are fixing their additions, their changes, that always, not sometimes, but always, favor one erroneous translation or position over another, due to pre-existing bias. We have these rescued combined verses in many of the key spots in the Restoration Scriptures True Name edition. Now, going back to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, you will see, as we just showed you, that we have translated what is his name and what is his son's name from the Masoretic. And as you saw, we also added what are his children's names. Did we really add anything? Does that mean we have violated Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6 and the admonition not to add to his word? No, my friends. All we've done is taken the literal text of the Masoretic tradition and combined it with the literal text of the Septuagint tradition to show the true names, but also that us, you and I, his children, the remnant of Israel, will also carry the true family name of Yahuwah. He has children. Maybe the Masoretes and the rabbis didn't want his children to be named by the family name of Yahuwah. Some say the Masoretic is the valid original. Others say the Septuagint is a valid original. So what manuscript is doing the adding? What is being added to what? No one knows for sure. By putting both major traditions in a single verse, we are not removing, we are not ignoring, we are not adding, because we do not know. And neither do you. And neither does anyone else. Which is the more accurate of the two translation traditions? By combining them into a single, cogent verse, giving us a full picture, we actually can eliminate individual biases and agendas of individual translators or groups of translators. I think in the world they call it, we don't put all our eggs in a suspicious basket. No other translation in English, Hebraic, or non-Hebraic sees the wisdom and have not seen fit to do so. Well, we have done exactly that, and we'll not apologize for that wisdom that Abba Yahuwah has given us and has granted us. So let's put this to rest. If you are content with certain limited translations that walk in fear and not faith, that have not restored anything in 600 years, have at it. Have at it. We know before Yahuwah and before man, we have not created or manufactured a single letter on our own, but we have recovered them from various reliable manuscripts, even when some with an agenda do not appreciate that. Now remember, even at the time of Yahushua, his teachings seemed new, seemed as if they were not sound or traditional, and were rejected. The consequences of that approach serve as a warning to us all. Stephen Tsefania encourages us in Acts chapter 7 not to be like our fathers, from prior generations with stiff necks and uncircumcised hearts, who received the word. Yes, they did. And yet, the word says they rejected the ongoing living aura. Acts chapter 7, verses 38 through 50. Please share this video with all those seeking Yahuwah in Ruach and in Emet.